for our opening text here tonight. It's just good to be in God's house. It's good to hear the good reports of our young people at youth camp. Praise the Lord, good to have our visitors tonight. Well, it's just been a wonderful day. Amen. Because God gave it to us. It doesn't mean it doesn't have conflict in it, but He's made it wonderful because He's with us in the midst of that conflict. Hallelujah. Glory. That's just very comforting to me that He surrounds me. You know, and as we were singing that chorus tonight, it may look like I'm surrounded. The reality of that statement is I am. I am. But the vital important part, but I'm surrounded by Him. That means He's between me and the other surrounding. Praise be to our God. That's awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse number 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. And this is not something new. This is actually from a song that Gordon Moat sings. And actually, I'm going to quote that song at the end of this message. But I just want to preach on live forgiven. Live forgiven. Hallelujah. And this, I'll just be honest with you, this just came to me this evening, this afternoon, as I was listening to Pandora Christian Gospel Music Station while I was getting ready to come to church, and this song came on, and the Spirit of God just began to pour this into my soul. First of all, it was poured into my soul for me. Hallelujah. I want to live forgiven. Hallelujah. I want to live like a child of God. I want to live like I know the King. Are you getting the picture here tonight already? A new life. It's new, Brother Ronnie. Hallelujah. And I'm getting there. Praise God. Why? Because I'm learning how to live. Praise God. Woo! Glory to the King. Now, it's evident that these believers in the Corinthian church came from every walk of life, every type of life, and every sin of life, and the reality is some of them were still struggling with some of these things in their lives, Brother Switzer, praise God. Brother Switzer preached on this a little bit in camp meeting, the reality of these people, and such were some of you. Number one, to live forgiven is the reality of what I used to be. The reality of what I used to do. The reality, not in the sense that I want to be what I used to be, not in the sense that I want to do what I used to do, but in the sense that I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. The past is gone. Hallelujah. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there is a work that has been done, hallelujah, and the past is not that it's just totally erased from my mind, but it's totally erased from my desire. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. It's totally erased from my way of thinking now, hallelujah. And what I want to do is I want to keep renewing my mind on a daily basis as I learn to live forgiven. Woo, praise our God, hallelujah. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving, I like that word in the Bible, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That word proving means showing. Showing everybody this is what God loves to see. Woo. Known and read, Paul said, you are living epistles, known and read of all. Hallelujah. To live forgiven is to live now in the light. Why? We used to live in the darkness. Now we've been brought into that marvelous light. Let's live in that light. Let's walk in that light. For the fruit of the Spirit, we usually quote Galatians chapter 5 for a wonderful discourse on the fruit of the Spirit. But right here, even in Ephesians, Paul says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Now, we talk about the goodness of God, don't we? Just how good God is to us. Boom. All right. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is your goodness towards everybody else. Woo. Because of the goodness of God in you, hallelujah, then what's coming out of you should be the goodness of God. Woo. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Now, that usually leaves a pretty good taste in the mouths of people when goodness comes their way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You ever watch the eyes of a waitress or the eyes of a waiter? If you leave a good substantial tip. Whoa. I started to say every word except tip. Wow. This is going to be fun tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you leave a good tip, it makes them feel good. It even makes them feel good about you. But you ever see their eyes when you leave a quarter as a tip? I hope you've never done that. Not as a new believer anyway. I'll be honest with you. When I was a sinner, I never left a tip. My philosophy was, they get paid just like I do. Why should I pay them more? That ain't right. Sorry. That's not goodness. That's selfishness. That was a good excuse for my bad behavior. You know, we're good at that, aren't we? A good excuse for our bad behavior. Here, you want to hear this one? You always point your finger at the other person. Yep, there's a reason why I'm bad. Sorry. That's not the reason why you're bad. You're the reason why you're bad. Because if that individual can make you bad, something's wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ, who's supposed to be making you good. So if a human being can make you bad, then your relationship with Jesus Christ is somewhere in the never-never land. If it ain't existing, if you treat people bad, your relationship with Jesus Christ is bad. You can't get away from that, no matter how you try. And let me tell you, everybody will try. Nobody wants to fess up to their bad behavior. Why? Because that means they've got to change. If I can blame someone else, then I can excuse myself and deceive myself that I don't need to change. Whew, self-deception is very, very treacherous, but it's real. We were talking about that conflict a while ago. Do you realize that is the only way the devil can do anything in your life is if he can produce conflict between you, not in somebody else, you and your God. What is conflict between me and my God? My pitiful behavior as a child of God is conflict between me and my God. I used that term here just the other night, and I don't know, I may have offended some, but, you know, we got to face it. Church, sometimes we're a pitiful excuse for a child of God. There are moments in our lives we are a pitiful excuse for a child of God. There is no excuse for our behavior sometimes. But I have found in my own personal life, I try to find an excuse for it. I'll just be totally transparent with you here tonight. Just the other day, I woke up. My day started out like, you gotta be kidding me. Why am I thinking these thoughts? Why am I wanting to be derogatory towards people? Why am I getting a bad attitude towards people? I mean, God, I do not want this. Where is this coming from? Because yesterday, hey, I was in love with everybody. I was kind to everybody. I was good to everybody. I mean, I was even good to the cat and the dog. But today, all I want to do is write. All I want to do is be angry. What is the deal? And God just started showing me how easy it is for the enemy to start bombarding our mind with ways we don't want to be, things we don't want to say, things we don't even want to think about. And I finally got the upper hand, and I just started singing and praising God. Not today, devil. And I shared this with you the other day about some other things, and lo and behold, here it came again, even stronger. Woo, it was just one of them days that I could have just bit nails into. Why? I don't know. It wasn't anything I ate the night before because it wasn't anything new. It wasn't anything different. And it was the enemy of my soul trying to bring me into conflict with my God. And I had to get it rectified, and I had to get it rectified swiftly. Or I was going to start saying things, doing things, spouting off things, ugly things. Because we're all capable of doing ugly things. That's where the power of the Holy Ghost has to start kicking in. If the ugly things are starting to come out, then it is time to say, not today, devil. Instead of saying, well, you made me. Whoa. I'm sorry, but this is just real life. Maybe you don't have real life. I don't know. Maybe everything's just going up, roses and sunshine every day for you, but when you start really wanting to live for Jesus Christ, you meet the enemy head on. And all he has to work with is your flesh. How many times have I told us, we ain't reading our Bible, we ain't praying, if we ain't communicating with God, we go right back to default, which is flesh before Jesus. Woo. Let me tell you, you don't want to live in default. Mm-mm. No. You want to rectify that immediately, and you want to tap in, unplug, and plug in, hallelujah, and get that rectified before that day moves on. And that's exactly what I had to do in my life because I did not want any of that. I hadn't acted, thought like that in years. Here it was. So I had to fight my battle. How did I? I started praising my God. I started thanking God for my newness of life. Woo, hallelujah. I started thanking God for the forgiveness of sins. I started thanking God for the grace and the mercy and the power of the blood. And I just started rebuking all of those thoughts. I said, not today. I'm in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live for Jesus. And I'm not going to do that. Sometimes you just got to get plumb violent with the enemy. And you realize that's what the scripture says. The violent take it by force. He ain't going to roll over and play dead if we're moving with his move. We've got to make a counter move. In the name of Jesus, I'm living right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to talk right. I need an attitude adjustment, my God. Woo! I need a fresh infilling of your Holy Ghost. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to stop what's going on. It may not take 10 seconds. Depends on the last time you prayed through. Woo! I'm sorry, but some folks, they think you only pray through once every 2 years. They think once they pray through, they're doing great. And I'm sorry, but you need to pray through the next day. Because just when you think you're doing great, you need to pray through. All that is pride starting to creep in already. I've been in this long enough. I know the tactics of the enemy against my soul. You get a great victory, and all of a sudden, you're acting worse than you did before. Why is that? Because we get to thinking too highly of ourselves, and we realize the victory didn't happen because of us. It happened because of Him and our surrender to Him. Oh, praise our God. Hallelujah. And so we were sometimes darkness. Now you're light in the Lord. So the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Wow. Did you notice that goodness was first? Did you notice that in Galatians, love is first? Because they are synonyms. Because there's not going to be any goodness flowing out of our lives if there's not any love flowing into our lives. And if love is flowing into our lives, then goodness is going to be flowing out of our lives. Looking for every possibility of being good to somebody. Woo. Did you realize we're limited on our young people and children here tonight? Sorry. You realize that your parents' correction and sometimes their disciplining procedures are goodness and love coming your way. Even though you may not think that it is at that point in time, it still is because they love you enough not to leave you to yourself or any bad habits you may be forming. Praise God. So they want to lead you and correct you and discipline you if you won't listen. You see, you always, you might correct me if I'm wrong later, but I think most of the time you always get some instruction in righteousness. And you are told what you are expected to do. And then if you don't do that, then discipline will come. So it's not like it really will take you by surprise. Because you've been told. Now, if you didn't listen, I'm sorry, but that's your fault. Hallelujah. Because if it was said, and if it was said once, then you're responsible to hear and listen and do. Praise our God. Oh, did y'all catch that? That's for adults too. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. I don't know. I think sometimes we want to just kind of skip over goodness, because sometimes that's difficult. And then we want to skip over righteousness, because that's difficult too, because righteousness is still my behavior, whether I'm doing right or wrong. And truth, well, now I can step up full of pride and say, oh, I have knowledge. I know truth. I've got a grip on truth. Sorry. Not if you don't want to deal with goodness and righteousness. You don't have a grip on truth at all. Woo! Because the truth is. Woo! The truth is. There's got to be something in my soul, hallelujah, that keeps the shadows all away. There's got to be something in my soul that helps me be good. To be good to everybody. Wow. Why? Because, well, such were some of you. Hallelujah. We're all sinners saved by grace. And it's the mercy of God that we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified, we've been cleansed, we've been redeemed, we've been renewed. There's a new creature created in us, and we've been given the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father for power and strength and courage and wisdom and, most of all, love. Do you realize the greatest power on the face of the earth is love? I don't know what you think about when you think about power. Now, I was raised on a farm, and as I grew older, we kept getting bigger and bigger equipment, more powerful equipment. We went from a little tractor that pulled like a 5-foot piece of equipment to a bigger tractor that pulled a 10 and to a bigger 14. You're tearing up dirt. Yeah, I'm just talking farmer here. And now they've got a big tractor that'll pull 30-foot piece of equipment. You talk about power. But the power of God is that love that helps me to die myself, take up my cross, and be good to everybody. That's power. James said, if you can't bridle your tongue, because it's the most unruly member, you're not tapping into the power that's available. I'm talking about live forgiven. When you and I are washed, you and I are sanctified, you and I, hallelujah, are justified, we now have all power in heaven and in earth to help us. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. But if you think you can do this all by yourself, you're already sunk. You're already sunk. Because you can't do it by yourself. Number one, you couldn't save yourself. Number two, you can't keep yourself. The only way you're going to keep and stay right and stay full of God and stay full of the Holy Ghost, stay full of goodness, is if you stay surrendered and keep the right mind frame about yourself, that I'm saved by His grace through faith in His name, in Him, of what He can do in me. Praise God. And so we see now, this is how we prove what God has done. See, we don't, witnessing a lot of times has nothing to do with words. Has everything to do with goodness. Like I said, giving that waiter, that waitress a nice tip. What is that? Goodness. You're just doing it out of the goodness of your heart. And it's easy to, here you go. It's easy to do if they serve you well. What about that one that doesn't serve you real well? What do you do then? Do you still show the goodness of God that's coming out of you? Or do you become judgmental to decide what she's worth or what he's worth? See, that's criticalness. It's not a matter. It's a matter of goodness coming out of you. Goodness coming out of you. Woo, praise our God. Hallelujah. This proves what God has done in our lives. It shows forth what God has done in our lives. Now, I'm going to throw this out here. Just don't raise your hand and don't make a comment unless you're going to say amen. Praise God. But how many times has some quote-unquote Christian not been good to you? Don't raise your hand. Don't blurt out a name. Because we've all been there. I've been there multitudes of times. I've had Christians thoroughly disappoint me. I've had Christians maliciously derail my name. The list could go on and on. But is that going to change my goodness? Am I going to allow someone's misbehavior to make me misbehave? Who's going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Who's going to be the believer? Who's going to be the follower? Who's going to be the one that's ready to forgive? Woo. I've had some tough things. I have. But if I wanted to go higher, and if I wanted to go deeper, I had to forgive and forget. Did that ever change my memory of it happening? Not at all, but it changed my attitude towards it. Praise God. And that, brother and sister, is what it's all about. I don't want a sour attitude. I want a good attitude. I want goodness. Hallelujah. And mercy and grace. Oh yeah, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. And I've heard it multitudes of times, and maybe you said it as much as I have. Oh, that's too hard. Well, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So it's not a matter that it's too hard. It's a matter of I haven't surrendered my will to it yet. Because I can do anything through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Because God's able, Brother Shelton. Praise God. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we think or what we ask. As long as it ain't against what I want. Woo! A lot of times we put the stipulations in there to what God can do. And oh my, we can tell God or tell other folks how much God can do for them, but prove it. Prove it. Let him do it in you first. Praise God. You know, I used to think I was the only one God chastised. It seemed like I was getting it all the time. No, man. I mean, Brother Moss, he just always preached at me. He just always told me where I was doing wrong, what I was doing, how I was living wrong. He just always just preached at me. Anybody else ever been there? Does Brother Pepper always preach at you? Well, change your life in that area and it won't affect you anymore. Praise our God. Hallelujah. You know, I got to move on here, but you know, when you preach about tithing, the only people that bothers is those that aren't tithing. Those that are tithing, that they're praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. The one that hadn't come to grips with tithing, they're madder and horned. Well, there he goes again, talking about tithing, giving that money. That preacher's rich. Oh. All God is doing is trying to get you to understand if you really want to be blessed by God, then just obey his word. And God then will bless you and open up the windows of heaven and abundance. Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, that's just an illustration. I'm not preaching on tithes tonight. Praise God. I'm talking about, you know, live forgiven. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm just, you know, yeah, I preached on tithe. That was just kind of a joke. Praise God. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. And that's still talking about doing good, isn't it? To obey magistrates and be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. The first thought on brawlers, I'm sure, if you've had any experience in the past, is someone who starts the fight, then runs off to let somebody else finish the fight, you know, because they like to be in a brawl. In other words, fighting, wrestling, fisticuffs. But brawlers are people that always want to stir stuff up. Yeah. Speak evil of no man or woman. You ain't got anything good to say, zip it. Because if you start spouting off evil things, then you're evil. Because that came out of you. And so it's a matter, do you want to be evil? And then we want to, I love it when people like to, you know, tear words apart. Well, I wasn't really being evil, I was just being upset. Hogwash, you're being evil. If it wasn't good, it was evil. See, folks don't want to say that about themselves. Do you want to say that about yourself? Do you want to call what you do evil when you don't do right? I mean, I don't want to call what I do when I don't do right evil. Why would I want to call it evil? That sounds so diabolical and bad. And I don't want to think bad about myself. Well, I got to if I want help. If I want help, I got to realize just how diabolical I can be and write it down. You're capable of being evil. I'm capable of being evil. I'm capable of being downright mean. But I don't want to be. Why? Because my Bible tells me I'm not supposed to speak evil of men. I'm not supposed to stir up trouble about people. I'm supposed to be gentle. And I'm on and showing all meekness unto all men. That includes women too. It's not a matter of men are the head of the household and I can command and tell you what. Give me a break. You don't even know what the head of the household means if you got an attitude like that. Because the head of the household means you lead by example. You lead by the love of God. You lead by the surrender to God. You don't lead by thus saith the king. I've seen them try to do it and it don't work. Why? Because God's not going to bless that. He's going to judge that. He's not going to allow that to continue on. Because that's not him. Does your king treat you with that attitude? He might. If you act that way, then he'll just pour it right back on you. He will. He will. I mean, you know, you're going to, whatever you reap or whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. You know, God's not mocked. That's why we can't deceive ourselves. If these things start showing up in our lives, then that's why we've got to get to the cross. You know, we got to get back to live forgiven. Because we're going to need forgiveness for that. Because it's not acceptable to him. It's not what he died for. He died for victorious living. He died for good living. He died for righteous living. He died for a change, a brand new creature in Jesus Christ, living for God. That's what he died for. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. This is verse number 3. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. In other words, preach it, preach it, preach it. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. This admonition lets me know that if I'm not careful, I'll go to default. I'll go right back like I used to be. Unless I am very careful and pay attention to how I'm living, what I'm doing, and the attitudes I allow to stay in my mind. I can blame it on everything under the sun, but my God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. He can help me with whatever it is I need help with. Hallelujah. He can help me. But I've got to be in the state of mind called humility to receive that help. Because if I'm not, God can try to help me all day long, and it is of no avail until I become a willing vessel to hear what thus saith the Lord to my heart and my life about my behavior. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's a joy to the child of God to begin to rectify their behavior. That is the joy of Christianity, is doing good. And letting God do good in us so we can do good for others. That is the joy of Christianity. Hallelujah. Notice he says these things are good and profitable unto men. Everywhere. Just live forgiven. Live, hallelujah, with the cross on your mind. Live with the blood cleansing on your mind. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now here's the other side of live forgiven. There's some who aren't living right. They're not doing good. They're not actually being righteous. Just everything I've just preached about. There's some that wrestle with that. Then there's others that wrestle with the things of the past. The things that happened all through previous life. We've got to realize Jesus Christ wants to bring us newness of life. To where it's not a matter that the past is erased from our mind, but the past has no effect on our mind. That's the newness of life Jesus Christ wants us to lay hold of. Too many people use the past for an excuse for bad behavior in the present. That does not work in Christianity, because you've got newness of life. You've got a brand new life. The past is real. Please don't misunderstand me. Sometimes the past is difficult. But whatever the past may have been, it's been cleansed. It's been sanctified. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And there is power for newness of life. Leave it behind and move on forward to the greater good, righteous, holy things of God. Hallelujah. And do not use the past for an excuse of your lack of growth in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is able to mend the brokenhearted. Jesus is able to heal the scars. Jesus is able to mend. Jesus is able to bring forgiveness. Hallelujah. To empower me to forgive and forget the past. Hallelujah. And not quit blaming somebody for my lack of behavior now. You know, I mean, my mom thrashed me good. When I disobeyed or got into trouble or did something I shouldn't have done, she thrashed me good with the very board I made for her on Mother's Day. Can you believe that? You know, just a young boy thinking, all right, I'll do good. I'll make her a gift. I'll make her a board, and then surely I'll make her happy, and she'll never use it on me. Now, sometimes children don't fully understand what they're doing. But I did. I made her a nice little paddle out of a 1x4. It was about... oh, it's probably about 16, 18 inches long. You know, trimmed the handle down where it fit in her hand real good. Drilled a few holes in it so it'd fly good through the air. And she didn't think twice about using it on me. Not at all. She disciplined me. She chastised me. Hallelujah. But see, I could use that as an excuse and say, well, I was abused. No, I wasn't. I was corrected. And I deserved what I got. But I could use it as an excuse and call it abuse. Then I'd just be a deceiver of myself. And it wouldn't make any difference if it was, because it didn't stunt my growth at all. But it did change my behavior. Wow. But that's behind. And now my mom's gone. She's passed. She's going on to heaven. And she's not here to spank me when I do wrong. Well, what am I going to do when I do wrong? I'm going to have to run to the rock that is higher than I. I'm going to have to confess my sin. And he's just and faithful to forgive me of my sins. And then he's going to dust me off, so to speak, and put me back in the race. Say, get up and keep running now. Hallelujah. And so it's just a matter of realizing the past is not the reason. The reason is the present, and I'm not laying hold of the fullness of the power of Calvary. I'm not laying a hold of the fullness of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not laying a hold of the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God. I'm not pressing towards that newness of life. I'm not pressing towards, hallelujah, that changing of my mind frame and the way I think. And, whoo, it's all got to change, Brother Ronnie. Hallelujah. I mean, we just got to keep forgetting what's behind and keep growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I find myself in misbehavior, I've got to be honest with myself, call it what it is, and take it to the Master so I can be set free from it, fresh and anew. I don't know whether you found this out yet or not in your Christianity, but there are some areas of your life that are repeated offenses. Areas that you have difficulties in on a continual basis from time to time. Not every day, because sooner or later you get tired of living that way because you know it ain't right. And if you keep coming to the house of God, the Holy Ghost is going to deal with you big time about it. Hallelujah. And Brother Prepper's going to preach right down your row from time to time, and you know when he does it, and you even think about the last time God dealt with you about it. And am I talking to anybody besides myself? Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, God's got my number, whether you believe it or not. God's got my number. We've got Brother Jason preaches, Brother Lucas preaches, Brother Shelton preaches, Brother Timmy's preaching. Hallelujah. And when they're preaching at me. I don't know why they always take their text and start preaching at me. I mean, they just bear down on me. I'm standing right back there, and they just keep looking at me and preaching. They're always preaching at me. I don't know why I don't preach at any of you. That's why I go all the way to the back. I don't want you to see the look on my face like, what are you doing? No, I don't do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the reality, they're preaching at me. And whether you believe it or not, many times when I'm preaching, I'm preaching at me. Because why? Because it's God's word. It's God's ways. And it's just as much for me as it is for you. And I want to lay hold of what God's trying to tell me. I want to forget those things which are behind. And those areas that are the high sensitive areas or the easy failure areas, those are the areas when they show up, then I want to jump on them quickly. Just like I was sharing with you of what was going on, and it was blowing my mind, because it just that attack had not been my direction in a long time, but I just had preached about some of that, and yeah, here it comes. Then you open your mouth, we'll see what you got. Whew. I didn't have what I thought I had, that's for sure. Because it just kept coming and it kept coming and kept coming until I finally kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing and finally got it under the blood. Finally got the Spirit of God encouraging my heart, encouraging my soul, and renewing my mind. Wow. I've got to quit. Has it been a long time since I preached? I don't know. It seems like, whoo. Like I could have the eternal gospel going on here tonight. Here's a song, Live Forgiven. Gordon Moat sings it. It's written by a couple other individuals. He goes to church on Sunday with a smile on his face. Sings about the rugged cross. He knows he's been saved. But he hears a preacher preach. At 12 o'clock he leaves, still wishing that someone really knew what's going on in his heart. He's carrying a burden, living scarred or scared and scarred. Sitting in that pew, he knows what to do to keep it hidden. So he keeps it hidden. But then the chorus says, but he is free. He just don't know it. He is loved. He just can't feel it. There's more mercy there than he could ever fathom. He is healed, and he can't see it. He is whole, and he can't believe it. But the past is broken. The cross has spoken. Live forgiven. Even when we're certain God's grace is all we've got, even when we tell ourselves it isn't up to us, sometimes it's hard to trust. But he says we can come like little children, because we are his children. We are free when we don't know it. We are loved when we can't feel it. There's more mercy there than we could ever fathom. We are healed when we can't see it. We are whole when we can't believe it. The past is broken. The cross has spoken. Live forgiven. Live forgiven. There's more mercy than we could ever fathom. The past is broken. The cross has spoken. Live forgiven. Live forgiven. The reality of the price has been paid for the newness of life. The price has been paid for the transforming of our new life. The cross has spoken. Jesus said, it is finished. And God is now for us. He is not against us. Before the cross, we were appointed to the wrath of God. Now that we have accepted Jesus Christ in the cross and the forgiveness of our past sins, hallelujah, we are no longer under the wrath of God. We are now part of the family of God, hallelujah. And we are now able to come before our Heavenly Father for the help we need in that time of need, when trouble comes, when things are going haywire, so to speak. We can come to the Master in humility, and a lot of times he may not change the circumstances, but he will change us for sure. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, there's been a lot of circumstances I was praying and asking God, just take this away, get rid of this, get it gone. I am tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of messing with this. The only answer I could get is, my grace is sufficient. That means I can make it through. That means then I talked about this just the other night. That means I can go ahead and let God pull me through that knot hole so that when I come out on the other side, I'm the way I need to be. Hallelujah. Instead of the way I was on the other side of that fence, he pulls me through that knot hole to transform my life into being like Jesus. Woo! And now I can deal with that situation in a total different mind frame. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I can deal with it with the mind of Christ. That love of Jesus, that forgiveness of Jesus, that mercy of Jesus, that grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2:4, and I'm almost done. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. What I want to finish up with here tonight is to let us know that faith and humility are synonyms. Because faith is none other than me as a human being humbling my heart and accepting God's word as the declaration and the direction of my life. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not a matter of what I can get God to do. Can I say that again? Faith is not a matter of what I can get God to do. Faith is a matter of bringing myself to the place where God can get something done through me. Humility before God is those that have been washed, those that have been sanctified, those that have been justified. Hallelujah. Walking humbly before their God and with their God. And thus their faith and their confidence is in their God, not in their ability, not in their knowledge, not in their so-called wisdom. Most people that think they're wise are really dumb. Because you shouldn't be calling yourself wise. That should come from somebody else. But if you're calling yourself wise, then you think too highly of yourself. And that's why you usually struggle and have all the problems you do. Because you think you're wise. And actually, you're not. Because if you were, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. God of heaven. It's amazing how things can spring up on us. But the just, those that are in that right relationship with Jesus Christ, they will live by faith. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all that I am. Yeah. I will keep or honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. It's not a matter of whether I'm right. It's a matter, am I surrendered? When we're dealing with the Word of God, it's not a matter of whether I'm right. It's a matter, am I surrendered? Is that Word working in me? Or am I just trying to use it as a sledgehammer on somebody else? I'm talking from experience. Because you can do that. And you can justify it because in Jeremiah it says, my word's like a hammer. Woo. But then you can't justify it when James and John wanted to call fire down from heaven on that city. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. So when you're trying to use this to make other people do right, you don't know what spirit you're of. But when you humbly break the bread of life for joint heirs of Christ so that we can all grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because what is grow? What is to grow? It means deeper in His love. Higher. Higher in His way of thinking. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I realize there's a fine line between what's just my way of thinking, His way of thinking. Then that's up to us as individuals to make sure we're humble and it is His way of thinking and not me just trying to be right. I learned that a long time ago when it comes to God's Word. It's not a matter whether I'm right or wrong. It's a matter whether I've humbled my heart before my God and I know what He has spoke to me. And I will share it with everybody, whether they listen or not. That's up to them. But if God's made it real in my heart, then I want to share it from God's Word. Hallelujah. And then it's for everybody. It's for everybody. But I have a piano player. Hallelujah. I don't know. I've preached way too long. I'm not really apologizing for it. It just, this was the message. Hallelujah. But praise be to our God. Let's stand to our feet. If we can. If not, you can remain seated. The main things I want you to lift your hands and lift your voice. and give praise to our God, because he loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He is for us. He is not against us. Hallelujah. It may seem like he is sometimes, but he's not. He's the God of love. And he has our best in mind. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Because he wants us to be rooted. He wants us to be grounded in that love. He wants us to go higher. Hallelujah. Oh, and his word, his ways, his way of thinking. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, I ask you, Lord, to strengthen our hearts, strengthen our souls, renew our minds, Lord, refresh us, oh God. Hallelujah. Let your word, Lord God, be that lamp to our feet, that light to our path. God, because you've shown us the ways, God. It's your promise, Lord, that you'll not leave us nor forsake us. You'll always be with us, and you will show us the holy ways. Oh, God, thank you.
That's what your mercy did for me.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. These altars are open tonight. Let's just close with a time of praise, a time of prayer, a time of rejoicing, a time of recommitment. Just hallelujah. Just a time with Jesus. Oh, praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah.
Be free. That's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. Thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I'm living like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did for me.